This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle reading from Romans chapter 7. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, fill us through your word with your Holy Spirit so that we'll be freed from sin and live life by that Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This reading today from Romans is a little more complicated. If you'd like to look at your Bibles during this sermon on pages 120, I'll be going also back to page 119 of the New Testament. Please feel free to do that. You don't need to, listening in is fine, but a bit more complicated today. I want to start by referring to the confession of sins that we often use at our services with communion. We say these words. We confess that we are born in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word and deed by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We have not loved our neighbour as ourselves. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We deserve your eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. That's a very strong confession of sin. When we say these words together, we are confessing together that we are naturally helpless in the face of sin. That sin is like a slave driver, and we are like people born into slavery. And that sin can compel us to do the things we don't want to do. We also confess that it's God alone who can free us in Christ Jesus. That it's God who can give us hearts to delight in his will and to walk in his ways. In the end, that confession of sin is not so much about us and what we can or can't do or have or have not done. It's more about God and what God does for us in Christ Jesus. Now, today's reading from Romans chapter 7 expounds this sort of thing to us, that we are naturally helpless in the face of the slave driver sin, but that it's Christ Jesus who gives us the victory. So today we're going to hear good news from God's word about what God has done for us in Christ and about how God frees us from slavery to sin. Well, let's get into today's reading, but we need to really get into some context first of all. I'm going to go back to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. This is on page 119 of the New Testament in your pews. Listen to what St. Paul says. He says this: what are we then to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? Here's a question with a good deal of logic to it on one level. God shows his graciousness by forgiving sin. God's name is glorified, in fact, when sinners have their sins forgiven and are brought home to God. And so we could say logically, what we ought to do then is sin more. Because if we sin more, then God gets to forgive more, and then God's name is glorified more. That's the sort of question that St. Paul is dealing with here. But listen to what he says. By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. When we were baptized, St. Paul is saying, our status was changed. We were naturally slaves to sin. We had that harsh slave driver, sin, pushing us along. But in our baptism, God took us out of that slavery and brought us into his household to live as free sons and daughters. Let's think about this. Let's say there's a benefactor in a world with a slavery who pays a slave to be free, redeems them out of slavery, gives the master money. They're now free. That benefactor is glorified, you could say, by this, by doing this generous act. And indeed, the slave is now liberated, no longer has to do what the master says. Would the Redeemer be glorified if the ex-slave says, "You know what? Your name was so glorified by releasing me from slavery, I'm going to sell myself back into slavery so you can do it all again." We'd know that would be ridiculous. No one would willingly go back into slavery. And it would not be for the benefactor's glory if they did this. If you get that picture, I think you get what St. Paul is talking about here. There's a cost for our redemption, the blood of Christ. In our baptism, we were brought into Christ and freed from slavery to sin. We together here have a new status given us as a gift from God. Now, St. Paul develops this theme later in Romans chapter 6 from last week's reading. Listen to what he says there. "What then? Should we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." Now, this is imagery given to us by God. These words bring up images in our minds, and it's good for us to meditate on them. They're spirit-filled images which will help us understand ourselves and our lives as Christian people. Let's think for a moment about a slave. Not free to do what they wanted to do, having no inheritance in the household, no future, punished if they do not work, punished if they work badly, no forgiveness, simply demands. That's slavery. And it produces a servile mindset. The mindset which says, "I won't work unless I'm being watched, because I don't want to do this, I'm only doing this because I have to." Or the mindset which says, If I make a mistake, I'll try and push that off onto others because I don't want to be punished for my own mistakes. If someone else can do it, bear the punishment, I'll make sure they do. Or the servile mindset, which presents a pleasing face to the master, but behind says cruel things. The servile mindset, which also sees life in the household as a slave as one big competition. Now compare that to the free mindset. With the son or the daughter of the household, there is an inheritance. When they work, they share in the inheritance. Simply as sons and daughters, they are given an inheritance from the father, from the mother. Also, they are not in competition with brother or sister. They can live together in love because they are sharers together of all good things in the family. They can hold their heads up. They can be dignified. They can live a different sort of way as free people. Early in the morning, when a slave sees the sun rise, it's a bad day. They are working towards no end. There'll be no share in what happens. In the end, death is their only release. But for the son or daughter of the household, when the sun rises, they can get up with a different attitude. Because what they do, what they work for, will have consequences which are good for them. They'll be sharing in what is produced. Okay, if you get that sort of imagery, it's a good way to think about also about life in the Christian household. We are not slaves who have a servile mindset. We are free people who can think in a spiritual way. I'm going to use one example today. Let's think about how we speak about each other. Let's say this world is all there is. When you die, you're food for worms, that's it. Then life can seem like one big power grab. And how we speak, one big power grab. So So we can speak about ourselves in a way that puffs ourselves up, so people think that we're great. We go into conversation wanting to say to others how good we are. Perhaps we become more sophisticated about how we do this as adults, but it's this servile, fleshly mindset. Perhaps also we take opportunities to gossip about others, to point out their faults behind their back, to speak ill of them so that others will reject them. This is a servile mindset. Perhaps we also take pleasure in accusing others and feeling morally superior to them, using our gift of speech to meditate in this way. This is fleshly, this is servile, it leads to death. And the slave driver sin pushes us to speak this way. But through our baptism into Christ, we've been brought into a different sort of household. We are free to speak of each other in a different sort of way. We do not need to dishonour each other with our language. Instead, we can honour each other and build each other up. We can see what's good about others and praise them, speak words of affirmation to them. We don't need to accuse others when they've sinned, but instead encourage them to get back on their feet and to walk in the Christian path. We don't need to talk about the faults of others to cover up our own faults, or to find a righteousness that happens from comparing ourselves with others. Instead, knowing that our righteousness comes from God, we are free to not compare ourselves to others, trust that we have good things in Christ Jesus, and to encourage each other in the life of faith. That's how it is through baptism into Christ. This is how it is in the Christian household. We are free to use our tongues to speak well, not to justify ourselves, not to be slaves to sin, not to have a fleshly mindset, but to live a spiritual life in the way that we speak. Well, thanks be to God that we're in a household where these are the ways that we have, so we can live together as brothers and sisters, free people. So it's a great blessing to be in this household. However, would you like to have all your conversation recorded and played back to other people, especially when you're talking about them? I wouldn't. I'm a baptized person. I love the rules in the Christian household. I love that we have rules about speaking well of each other. But I know that if all my words were played back, I would be ashamed, because I have sinned in the way I've spoken. Maybe you have as well. What's going on? Well, this is what St. Paul is writing about today. Listen to what he says, and I think most of us could understand very well what St. Paul is talking about. I don't understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. This is Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 16. I don't want to speak ill of others. I agree that the laws of the household, the Christian household, are good. And yet I find that I sometimes fall back into old habits, act as if I'm still a slave under the slave-driving authority of sin. I forget that I'm a son of the King. And maybe you have these sorts of experiences yourself. It seems that St. Paul did. And I think that if St. Paul did, we can confidently say we all did, and we all do. Now, what St. Paul goes on to say is very startling. But it's in fact no longer I that do these things, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. Now, one way to think about this is the saying, old habits die hard. We are naturally born into slavery to sin. We naturally think this way. This sinful way of thinking is imparted to us even from birth. We can forget that we are sons and daughters in the household of God, and fall back into old habits. We know where we'd rather be, in a free household, but there's something in us that means that we fall back. St. Paul goes on to say this: "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from the body of death?" Again, there's a sort of muscle memory that leads us back into sin, that leads us to forget about our status. This is not how we want to be, but it is the life of the Christian. It's the experience that we have as Christian people. Imagine that if in baptism we were brought into the household of God and then left to our own devices. If that were the end of the story, we could again fall back into despair. If we thought that simply we're transferred into the household of God and then God wipes his hands of us and says, "It's up to you now," we'd have reason as Christian people to give up, because we know our weaknesses. We know how we fall back. We know how susceptible we are to the slave-driving voice. But thanks be to God, God does not leave us as baptized people on our own. This is what St. Paul says at the end of today's reading: "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." There's someone who does save us, not only by dying on the cross for us, not only by incorporating us into himself through holy baptism, but through also sending us his Spirit, and that is Christ Jesus. St. Paul is going to go on in the next chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 8, to talk about life by the Holy Spirit. That in our weakness, God sends us the Holy Spirit, so that even we can pray by the Spirit in words which are not our own. The Holy Spirit giving us words to pray to Abba, Father, for the help that we need. If you like, the slave driver sin imparts a certain spirit to us, a certain way of thinking, a servile, fleshly way of thinking that we can fall back into. But our Father sends us his Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of being a son, of being a daughter of God. So we don't need to give up. If we fall back, we have brothers and sisters to remind us that we are part of the one household. If we fall back, we have Christ Jesus, who stands up for us and says there's no condemnation, because in Christ Jesus there is no condemnation for us. We also have our Lord Jesus, who sends us his Spirit to give us words to pray and to sustain us in faith. Now, today's reading, in my opinion, is a difficult reading. But I think in this sermon I've just gone over some of the key imagery, and hopefully that will help you in your own meditations on this text. The imagery of slavery to sin or freedom in the household of God. A key image here. In baptism, we were brought into the freedom we have as Christian people. On Tuesday at 10:30, we will here be having the funeral for Harold Wilch. He was the oldest member of our congregation, 104. He would have been 105 in September. And his funeral will start with the words from Romans 6. He may have been 104, Harold, but he died when he was baptized back in 1912. He was released from slavery then, brought into the household of God. Harold was our brother. We're part of the one family. This is what God has done for us. So let's not give up, because it's Christ Jesus who rose from the dead who gives us the victory. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.